Ezra chapter 3. By the seventh month, the people of Israel, that is the Jews from Babylon or Persia who had returned, and we said that unfortunately most of them chose to stay behind, but the few who did return were all settled in their towns. Then they all gathered in Jerusalem. And Joshua and his fellow priests and Zerubbabel, together with their relatives, rebuilt the altar of the God of Israel so they could burn sacrifices on it according to what was written in the law of Moses, the man of God. Even though the exiles who returned were fearful of the people who were living in the land, they rebuilt the altar where it had stood before. Then they began again to burn on that altar the regular sacrifices every morning and evening. They celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles according to as it was written. Every day they offered the sacrifices required for that day, and additionally they also offered the regular sacrifices to be burnt and those to be offered at the festival of the new moon and at all the other regular assemblies at which the Lord is worshipped, as well as all the voluntary offerings that were given to the Lord. Although the people hadn't yet started to rebuild the temple, they began on the first day of the seventh month to offer sacrifices to Yahweh. Well, it says there that they kept the feasts, especially the Feast of Tabernacles, and they offered all the sacrifices, and there were quite a lot of them for the Feast of Tabernacles. And they didn't forget to offer also the daily sacrifices. So, every morning and evening, Israel had to offer a sacrifice to God, every day of the year. But at some of the feasts, especially Tabernacles, they had to offer quite a lot of extra sacrifices. And in the law of Moses, they were told, when you're offering the extra sacrifices, don't forget the daily sacrifice. And here it seems that they obeyed that. So the lesson for us, as it were, if you make a bridge from all those years ago to us today, is that we should have regular habits of serving God. I suggest morning and evening, prayer to God, Bible reading, morning and evening. And let's not think that, oh, well, yeah, but today I'm going to church. Today I'm doing sort of something special for God. Yep, but you still start the day and finish the day with your own prayers and Bible reading. That has got to be the rhythm of our lives. And it's easy to be in that rhythm when you live with believers or when you're in a believing family. But the real test is whether we do those things when we're alone. If we go away, or if our family goes away, or if we're, for whatever reason, outside the company of people who do those things, that is the real test. The people gave money with which they paid the stonemasons and carpenters, and they also sent food, drink, and olive oil to the cities of Tyre and Sidon, so that they might get cedars of Lebanon, which were to be brought by sea to Joppa. Cyrus, the king of Persia, arranged all of this. So in the second month of the year after they returned to the site of the temple in Jerusalem, they began the work. Zerubbabel, Joshua, and the rest of their fellows, the priests and the Levites, and all the exiles who had returned to Jerusalem, joined in the work. All the Levites who were 20 years of age or older were in charge of the work of rebuilding the temple. Joshua the Levite and his sons and relatives and Kadmiel and his sons all worked together in taking charge of the work of rebuilding the temple. When the men began to lay the foundation of the temple, the priests put on their robes and took their places with trumpets in their hands, and the Levites stood there with cymbals, and they praised Yahweh according to the law given to them from King David, and they sang Yahweh's praises. Yahweh is good, they sung, and his love for Israel endures forever. Everybody shouted, praising the Lord, because the work on the foundation of the temple had been begun. So, Zerubbabel means the branch from Babylon. And it seems to me that he could have been some kind of Messiah figure. And there's so many prophecies about this, that he was going to do this, that, and the other, and in Zechariah, lots of prophecies were said about Zerubbabel, but he sort of disappears. And although it's not written in the Bible, In the old Persian histories, it says that he actually returned to Persia and had a career in the court of the king there. So one of the sad things about the story of the Restoration is that there was so much possible that people didn't make use of. And so this is the lesson for us, that so much is possible. And God is eager to work with us if we are eager to work with him.